Amen. I was telling the men yesterday that when I was in Bible college, we had a professor named Dr. Donald Lonstein, and he said to understand the Bible, you need to think Jewish. You need to think Jewish. God wrote the Bible through the Jewish people in the Old Testament and then through the 12 apostles, who are all Jews, in the New Testament. And it is based on what God gave to the Jewish people, the Israelite people, and it's all important to understand it. And in the passage that we read this morning in Exodus chapter 12 on the Passover, it helps you to be able to think Jewish, because Jewish people still celebrate the Passover. God said to keep on celebrating the Passover. And in Exodus 12, the Passover is very important to us who live in the New Testament. Even though you're not Jewish, it's very important to us who talk about Jesus Christ, who came from Israel, because God said that the Jewish people who were in Egypt, Pharaoh would not let them go. And Pharaoh is a type of the devil. He doesn't want people to come to Jesus. He doesn't want them to get saved. He doesn't want to let you go. He wants to hold on to you and keep you bound in your sin. And so that's the way Pharaoh was. He wouldn't let the people go. And God kept hitting them with these plagues. And boy, he wouldn't listen. Finally, it came to the 10th and final plague. God said, this is the one that will make him let my people go. And Moses basically went in and told Pharaoh the word of God that, and he told the Jewish people this too. He said, you need to take a Passover lamb and you need to make that a male, and you need to have that lamb offered up for your family. And then put the blood on the top of the doorpost and on the sides, not on the bottom, because you weren't to trample on the blood. And we're not supposed to trample on the blood, because he said, when the death angel comes over the land of Egypt to bring down my judgment of death upon every firstborn in every household, if you take cover under that blood and you go inside that house, you will be saved. You will be saved. And that was because of the blood of the Passover lamb or goat that was in there. And, you know, Jesus is called the innocent Lamb of God. And his blood was shed 2,000 years ago on the cross. And then he took it to heaven and put it and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven before God. And God says our sin requires that we die and that we suffer in hell. And the only thing that can save you from an eternal damnation in hell is the blood of a perfect human being that is represented by an innocent lamb or sheep. And that perfect human being, the only one, was the virgin-born Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he lived that perfect life, and he died a bloody death. And that blood is what causes God to pass over you. You need, by faith, to apply that blood to the door of your heart. And you need to put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, that it paid for your sin, and it will keep you from hell, and will keep you. You have to live a perfect life. If people did not put the blood on the door, and they lived a good life, and they said, I'm going to go to sleep tonight and trust my good life will help me in the morning to wake up. They woke up in the morning and their oldest child was killed by the death angel. It didn't save them. If they did some kind of religious routine and went to bed that night, that wouldn't save them. The only thing that will save you is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb. And so they those that were obedient by faith, they did kill the lamb and they put the blood on the top and on the sides of the door. They went to bed that night and they were safe and they were safe. But when the Egyptians got up and the people got up that didn't put the blood on the door, they were weeping and crying because in every home, the oldest child, imagine that, your oldest child is dead. And it went out throughout the whole land of Egypt. And that was it. Pharaoh said, all right, I'm letting you go. I don't want anything. I'm letting you go. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. And they went out of the land of Egypt and were delivered from slavery to the wickedness and the sin of the land of Egypt and the slavery of the land of Egypt. And if you are released from a life of slavery to Satan and to your own sin, it's because of the blood of our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our faith is in his blood to save us. And so if you have not put the blood of Jesus on the doorposts of your heart to save you by faith, the Lord is inviting you to do that. But what I want to talk about this morning is that when they did that, they were then to go in the house and have a feast. And that feast was called the Passover dinner or the Passover feast. And they would have the lamb and roast it and eat that lamb. And they would have some bitter herbs and unleavened bread that they would eat it with. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says in chapter 5, 7 and 8, that Christ is our Passover lamb. And if you've been saved by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you are now celebrating the feast of being saved from Satan and from sin. And how do you celebrate the feast? Well, you celebrate the feast, he said, with unleavened bread. And what he means by that is leaven represents sin. And so you should put the sin out of your life that will slow you down. The sin out of your life that is meant to get out of your life. Just like they had to get rid of leaven. The next day was the feast of unleavened bread. And for 7 days they were to eat no leaven and celebrate the feast of unleavened bread. Which was a Sabbath day. The next day after Passover was a Sabbath day called Unleavened Bread. And they celebrated that feast. And that tells us that once we accept Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb, we're not to have sin in our midst. You know, there are some churches, they say, you're a homosexual and you are welcome to be a member of the church if you're a homosexual. Well, you could be saved if you're a homosexual, but not to stay in homosexuality. That's against the Word of God. There are people who say, well, you live together and you fornicate and you're not married, but you're welcome to be a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Oh, no, the Bible says flee fornication. Flee fornication. No, you're not to live like that. You're not to bring leaven into the church. 1 Corinthians 5 said, remove that leaven. Which is a representation of sin. Christ, our Passover lamb, we're celebrating his death, not by having leaven of sin in our life, but getting rid of that. Somebody says, I'm a drunkard and I drink. And one guy told me I'm drunk from Thanksgiving to New Year's. Well, you're a drunkard, and I love Jesus. I joined the church, and I drink and get drunk all the time. Listen, you're welcome to come to the church, but to become a member of the community of the Church of Jesus Christ, no, don't bring the leaven of drunkenness in there. Amen. Don't bring that in there. That is a lifestyle that's contrary to God. Listen, we've got to separate ourselves. Separate ourselves from this world. And that's what we're talking about here when it comes to the feast and the way we celebrate our Passover lamb in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want to look at specifically this morning is the question of how are you to eat this Passover meal in a specific way. And I want to focus on one verse from chapter 12 and preach on that, three things on that. And I'll read the verse. Look at Exodus 12, and I'll read verse 11 for you this morning. And it says there, verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And from this verse, what I'd like to say to you this morning is, feast while ready to march with your feet. When I say feast, I'm talking about enjoy the blessings of being saved by Jesus, our Passover lamb. Enjoy the blessings of knowing you're going to heaven. By the way, I enjoy feasting on Jesus and knowing that since I have put my faith in the blood of Jesus and he's my Passover lamb, that if I should die before I wake, the angels are going to take me to heaven. Yeah, the Bible says, absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. I used to live my life in fear. I was a hypochondriac. I was afraid of getting some sickness and then dying because I might go to hell. And I didn't want to die and go to hell and burn in the fire forever. But now I can know that my Passover lamb, and because I put my faith in his blood, the death angel can't get me and put me in hell. The angels of God will take me to heaven. And the Bible says, if you know that, if you know you're saved, then you, listen, you are enjoying your life. Hey, I enjoy my life. Why? Because I'm saved. Every day's a holiday. Every day's an adult Christmas for me. Every day is Thanksgiving. Because I am feasting on the manna, the Passover lamb. I am feasting on the blessings of God for my life. And I wouldn't want to be in your shoes this morning if you haven't put the blood on the doorposts of your heart and you're not trusting in the blood. Because if you die, you will go to hell. You will have to be punished for your sin unless you take Christ's invitation. He said, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." You'll be able to rest in my blood that was shed and rejoice in my blood, and you'll be able to know that you're going to heaven. And so this morning, I want to talk to you who have trusted Christ and say how you are to feast while ready to march with your feet. That's how you're to do it. Feast while ready to march with your feet. Notice it says, again in verse 11, they had their loins girded. That meant they had all their clothes on. I got all my clothes on today. I got my vest on. I got my shirt on, my tie on, undergarments on, pants on, suit coat on. I am ready for church. Amen. Amen. Sometimes my wife puts the shirt off, and she always helps me to get dressed. My wife's so nice, she gets everything out there for me. And sometimes she's got a shirt out there, and I it's got cufflinks, and I can't find the cufflinks. And I'm like, oh, please, I need a shirt I can button. Or either that or have the cufflinks there, because I'm always in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry to get dressed. And I'm always going somewhere. My wife helps me with that. I'm so grateful to her. And what I want to say to you this morning is, that these people, when they ate this feast, they were already dressed. Now today, if you go to Christmas dinner, you want to be dressed however you're going to be dressed, because somebody might take your picture, you know, and so forth. But these people were dressed because they were ready to march. They were ready to leave Egypt. This was the time when God said, this is it. God's going to make this devil called Pharaoh release you. And so they were ready to march. So how do you eat this feast? Feast while ready to march with your feet. Number one, by keeping your focus. Notice you have to keep your focus in order to be ready to march. These Israelites had to be ready to march. If they lost their focus on God and God's purpose for their lives, they would not be ready to march. I think about Lot's wife. She was married to Lot. And Lot was going to heaven. Lot was a believer. He lived in Sodom, which was a wicked place, and his wife lived there with him. But God said through angels, you've got to be ready to march. You've got to get out of Sodom. I am going to destroy it, and you've got to get out of there. By the way, if you're not saved, you've got to get out of this world. God's going to judge this world. And you say, how can I get out? How can I get out of this world? The door is Jesus. Go right through the door. Don't wait. Go get saved. And Lot, you know, he was saved, but his wife, she had her eyes on Sodom. She had her eyes on her house in Sodom. She had her eyes on the unsaved family members in Sodom. You know, there are some people there here that you party with your unsaved family members. You drink with them, or you smoke blunt with them, or you sin with them. You are not in the will of God. And Lot's wife, she was with Lot in the home, and she was married to Lot. But my friend, she died and went straight to hell.
That's right.
And some of you are married to a believer, and you're no more born again than this desk. You're dead. You're deader than last year's Christmas tree. And I want to say to you, Lot's wife was not saved. And therefore, she had her eyes on Sodom. And when it came time for Lot to leave, and the angel said, get out. And he went to walk and went out. And his daughters went with him. His wife stayed behind. And she was looking back at the city and saying, oh man, that's where my heart is. I don't want to leave there. And meanwhile, Lot and his daughters crossed. Listen, they crossed the border into Zoar, where the brimstone and the fire couldn't touch them. But Lot's wife, she was close to Zoar, but she was going so slow she never made it. And boom, she got hit with the fire and brimstone and became a pillar of procrastination, a pillar of salt. And she died right there. I believe there are people when Jesus comes back, they're going to be married to people that are saved, and the angel's going to get their saved loved ones, and they're going to be left behind. Why? Because they've had their focus on this world, and they've partied with this world, and they've hung with this world, and they're with their mate just maybe along for the ride to get a financial blessing from their mate, or whatever blessing they're going to get from their mate. But their heart is in this world. Listen, if you're going to get to heaven, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. And so you need to keep your focus on the Lord and not be like Lot's wife. Notice that these people in the Passover meal, that night when they were eating the meal, when the death angel was going to pass over after they ate and went to bed, and they had to then get ready to march out of there, perhaps they slept with their clothes on too. That could very well be, because they were to eat dressed. They were ready to march out of Egypt that night. Are you ready to leave this world behind you? Are you? Are you ready to leave this? You say, well, Jesus might not come back. Well, how about if you die tonight? You're going to leave your soul. Listen, your soul is going to leave your body. And Jesus told a story of a man that his focus was wrong. He was focused on all the things around him and in this world. And he was a very rich man. In fact, he had so much riches and so much food, he had to tear down his barns and get bigger barns. It would be like if you needed more cupboards, more freezers to put all your food in. And he was going to sell those crops and make a lot of money. And he was reasoning in his mind, man, I'm going to have so much money when I sell all these crops. He said, I'm going to be able to take it easy in my life. I won't have to work hard. I'll be able to live off this. I'll be able to live for many years. And you know what the Lord said? Your focus is in the wrong place. You are a fool. Because tonight, I'm going to take you out of this world. You know, my mother lives with us now. She's 94 years old. Hope she doesn't hear this message. And because she listens to them later. And she's getting up there. And she she says to me sometime, you know, you're taking care of my stuff, and you and your brother will have stuff, you know, from me, and you know, this and that. And I said, Mom, I could care less. I said, anything I get, I got to leave behind me to the next person. And anything they get, they got to leave behind. Listen, you can't take anything out of this world. And there are a lot of people, they're not rich toward God. They may have a lot in this world, and they put their heart on this world and their focus on this world. But you should have your focus on heaven. You should have your focus on the kingdom that's coming, or the world that's coming. The only thing I can take out of this world are the people. The only thing I can take out of this world are the people that I tell about Jesus, and they put their faith in Jesus, and they get saved by Jesus. That is what makes the difference. And so I don't want to have my focus on this world. You know, where you put your eyes, that's where your heart is going to be. Watch out that you don't focus all on video games and not on this Bible right here. Watch out that you don't focus on that cell phone, and that cell phone gets you going, and you're just going and going and going and going and going. And you know where that cell phone's going to lead you? It's going to lead you to look at things, women that you ought not to look at, boys. And you're going to get into that. You're going to get all stirred up and all into pornography. And then you're going to be addicted to porno. And God help you. The Bible says that's a strange woman, and she will bring you down right into hell. Because your eyes, your heart will follow your eyes and hook you up. Get away from that. Put the blinders on your eyes, and your eyes will affect your heart, my friend. Samson had to learn that. He got his eyes burned out by the enemy because his eyes were always focused on the women. And you watch out for that cell phone. One click on the pornography can be the beginning of the end for you. And that's what we're talking about. So while you're feasting on your Passover lamb and the blessings of being saved, the Bible would tell you, feast by keeping your focus. And therefore, you're ready to march when the Lord tells you to march, because you're not like Lot's wife, who was not ready because her focus was wrong. And number two, not only keep your focus, feast while ready to march with your feet by keeping your first things first. Keeping your first things first. Remember, these Jews on Passover night had the priority in their minds, now be ready to leave Egypt. Egypt represents this world and all that's in this world. You got to be ready to leave it, he's saying. God says you're in the world, my friend, but you're not of the world. The Bible says the world passeth away and the lust thereof. Have you ever noticed how fast life goes? My mother tells me, man, it's just like I'm here. I'm an old lady now. You remember when I was a young lady? I do. I do remember that. I remember my teenage friends said, oh, man, your mother, she's a looker. I remember those days. But it's over. It goes by fast. And it'll go by faster. My grandmother used to tell me, it's like a merry-go-round. The year, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer. It just seems to go faster and faster the older I get. And soon you'll be out of this world. I had my son's birthday, and I had a merry-go-round. I got all the boys on the merry-go-round. My son had his birthday. He was about 10 years old, and I was spinning that merry-go-round. I got it spinning too fast. And then I realized, but it was too late. I had boys like hanging on like this, and they're flying off the merry-go-round. I said, I'm going to be sued. And they're flying off the merry-go-round. And that's the way it is. This world is just spinning and spinning around and spinning around on its axis and spinning around the sun. And you can't stop time. You look at kids and they'll help you to know how fast time goes. And it'll be over. And so you need to keep first things first. The Bible says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, I realize that, as I said before, there's only one thing I can take out of this world, and that's those of you that get saved through Jesus Christ. I can't take out my clothes. I can't take out my car. I can't take out a boat. I can't take out a home. I can't take out my rings. I can't take anything, neither can you, my friend, out of this world. You can inherit it, but you got to leave it too. So somebody else is going to get everything. I have never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. Now, I know the Egyptians used to do that. They put all the riches in the grave, but what good to do the guy? He's not in the grave. It's just his rotting bones that are in the grave. You know what? Some people use people to get things. And by the way, some of you are hooked up on money just as sure as I'm here. And money's making you miss church services. And this world is making you miss church services. And you're not right with God. And so I'm saying to you tonight, this world is going to burn. And let's say you are a believer. Let me read what the Bible says about you. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That means the foundation of your salvation is Jesus Christ, your Passover lamb. And you say, Pastor, I am saved. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Well, good. I'm glad. But let's go on. He goes on and he says, now if any man, listen to me, build upon that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall be saved, so as by fire. That's saying that everybody that is saved and will go to heaven, that there is coming a day for you to be judged for what you did after you got saved. Some of you got saved and you were in love with Jesus. You're not in love with Jesus today. You're in love with the money, with the world, with what you can get. Some worldly person has got you hooked up with that. The Bible says if you will be rich, you're a foolish person and you're going to pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Now, God can give you riches, that's fine, in this world. But you're going to use those riches to get the true riches. Some people use people to get money. They're users. I said they're users. It's usury. And other people use money to get people. There's a big difference. I remember when I was a young father, my kids used to live over in Providence here, and there was a guy named Cordy. He was an old man. Cordy was an old man, and Cordy always had quarters. And my kids would go out there, and Cordy'd like be dishing quarters out there. They never forgot Cordy. Cordy's gone, but they never forgot Cordy. He won their hearts. He used things to get people's hearts, my kids and other kids. I know some people, they use people to get things, and they break God's word. They don't keep first things first in their life. I have candy bars, Gertrude Hawks. We use them for fundraisers. And one of the kids at the church, a young man, he wanted the candy bar. I thought, no, I'm not going to give you that candy bar. You can't get it. And then I thought to myself, why not give him the candy bar? And I gave him the candy bar, and he's my buddy. He's my buddy. And I think about my own grandmother. She used to feed me T-bone steaks when
I come home from work with my uncle when I stayed there for the summer. She would feed me apple pie, olive oil, ice cream. She would feed me, delicious food, mashed potatoes and gravy, and all that good stuff. I'm getting hungry. Let's end this thing. And she'd feed me that good food, but she got my heart, and I listened to her. When she talked, I listened to my dad. And guess what? She told me about Jesus. And when I was 17, I got saved. She used things to get people. You say, when she died, what'd she leave you? She left me a plate. It says on the plate, don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. I don't even know where that plate is now. I should keep it as it. But you know what? I kept my grandma in my heart. I don't have her in a plate. She won my heart. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. You win personalities, you're wise, so that you can win them to Christ and give them something that is going to last. It says here that if you're saved and your heart is no longer with the Lord, so you're not loving to be here, you're not loving the things of God like you used to, I feel sorry for you. And it says your work is going to burn up. Whatever it is you're into that you put in first place instead of Jesus in first place, that's all going to burn up when you see Jesus and you see his eyes. And his eyes are going to look right through you. And they're like flames of fire. And it's going to burn up what you've done. And you're going to be there with nothing left. And say, why did I waste time that was so precious? You can lose money and get it back on a windy day, but you can't lose time and get it back. There's no do-overs in this world. And so he said, you eat this Passover, and you have your staff in your hand, your clothes on your back. You be ready to march, because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. How about you? I don't want to be saved so as my fire. And so I'm thankful for people that stir me up to get gold. You say, what's gold? Gold is not that yellow precious metal. Gold is Bitcoin. No, I'm just gold is not that precious yellow metal. Or even Bitcoin, which is worth something. Or silver. Or diamonds and rubies. Pearls that represent people that have been saved, and then they're the sort of people, listen to me, that they're productive, they're profitable for the ministry of winning others to Jesus Christ. What sort of church do you have? A separated soul church? That's what you need to have. And people can stir you up. I told Diane Payne that. I said, Diane, how many have you led to profess faith in Christ this year? She said, so far 240. And I've had 31 people back. I said, you know what? You stirred me up, Diane. I said, I always had it, you know, for 13 years I'd lead at least one a day. I'd lead 300 or 400 people to the Lord every month. But I relaxed that to not have the pressure. I said, I haven't been as productive, but you stirred me up to get going. I started late in the year, but I'm moving forward. I'm getting back to it. You know, the Bible says that if you put first things first, you can stir other people up to get back to the right priority. And so this morning, feast while ready to march with your feet by keeping your eyes focused on the right focus. By keeping first things first, and number three, and lastly, by keeping your fast paced. Exodus 12:11, notice what it says, and thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in what? Haste.
It is the Lord's Passover.
You need to keep a fast pace. Now, I grew up in a home where my father, we used to say my father could eat a meal like a dog. He was so fast. My mother, on the other hand, she would eat and eat and eat. It was a very leisurely. And she liked to talk and eat and all that. And that's nice for a meal. But he's talking here about a Passover meal. It's an illustration. Think Jewish. It's an illustration for after you get saved, how you're to live your life. And how you're to feast on the wonderful blessings of your salvation. And you are to feast on and enjoy the blessings of your salvation. And I do that. I thank God for the blessings of my salvation. But I found out that I am saved to feast on the words of faith. And by the way, tonight I have a message on that. I'm feasting on the Lord. But you're to feast in order to use it. You know, too many Americans take in too many calories and use up too few. And you know what that gets stored as? Fat. And we get too fat. And it hurts us. But you know what? God wants us to get that spiritual food so that we can use it and we can do work with it and we can benefit others. And so we need to keep that fast pace. We need to keep on moving. And I noticed that if you get into a church that is, you know, I like what one church said their theme was. They said, we are a going church for a coming Lord. We are a going church for a coming Lord. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible says that we are to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son. In other words, God says, if you have received the Passover lamb and you've been saved and you're feasting on the benefits of going to heaven and knowing that you're saved and knowing the Bible and you have these things, you need to go out there and tell others. You need to go out there and bring others in. I think about our church. We just had a fall campaign and we had a lot of different things going on in the fall campaign. And we saw people get saved. I think right now we have 98 baptisms this year. 98 baptisms this year. Perhaps there's somebody here today that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you need to come and get baptized. And be a testimony and say, that's how you tell people you've accepted the Lord. When you go under that water and come up, that's just a picture that now that you're saved and you died with Christ and you're buried with Him as far as your old life and you have a new life. And it's a testimony. It's a show and tell. And you need to come forward. When I got saved, I got baptized that way after I got saved. And our church needs to be going to get people to the faith of the Passover lamb and then to get them to come down the aisle and get baptized. And we were just doing that during our fall campaign. And now we have Christmas Gift Sunday coming up. And Ms. Majeski's trying to get the Christmas gifts together and getting helpers to do that. And then she's suggesting we have extra gifts to give away to people that maybe they're not going to come out, but we can bring them to their house. And that's a blessing, too, because I said, you know, Santa Claus. Have you heard of Santa Claus? His name is Nicholas. He's a real man. He was a pastor in Turkey years ago. And the Catholics made him a saint, but you're a saint when you get saved by putting your faith in Jesus. You don't have to be canonized by the Catholic Church. They screwed all that up. But this guy was Nicholas, St. Nicholas, a pastor. And he used to go to the homes of poor children and bring them gifts and celebrate Christ. by bringing them gifts. Christ is our gift. So we're doing that. We're bringing gifts. And you say, why would you do that? Well, because we're using things to get people so that we can not only help them, but more importantly, help them to see the love of Jesus who gave his blood so that you can be saved. He saved me. And I want you to be saved. You say, how'd you get saved? He showed me I didn't deserve it. I was a sinner on my way to hell, but that he paid for my sin. As a free gift, he offered me salvation, and I took it. And I'm feasting now on Jesus and the blessings of Jesus. But listen, I need to make haste because the time is short. People are dying. People are going to hell. And unless they get saved, and they need it. And so I don't have a lot of time of leisure in my life. I try to get some leisure, some rest, but then I got to get moving again. And that's what he's saying. Do this in haste. You've got to get moving. And some believers, they're not doing anything to reach others for Jesus Christ. And they're not taking that extra step. And so today, you need to keep your fast pace for the Lord. And you need to do something for the Lord. I remember when I met our first pastor, Charles Ware, he got me to speed up in doing things for the Lord. I remember when I went out as a man in his late 30s, a pastor to Hammond, Indiana, and met the great Dr. Jack Hiles. He got me to speed up bringing people to Christ and moving forward, and not just ding-dinging along until Christ comes back. How about you? Are you feasting on the Lord while ready to march with your feet for Jesus? Are you keeping your focus? Are you keeping first things first? And are you keeping the fast pace, the pace that the Lord wants you to go in? And are you always ready on a moment's notice to lead somebody to the Passover lamb? If you're not, perhaps you need to stop hanging around with worldly people that will slow you down and going at their pace. And you need to hang around people like I talked about that got my pace going for the Lord. You hang around with the world's crowd, my friend, too much, you're going to go the world's way. Lay aside those weights and go forward with Jesus. I'm going to ask we bow for prayer this morning. Every head bowed, please, and every